Now it's time for the preaching.
Amen.
Singing's important, but preaching's most important. People are saved by the preaching of God's word. So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We're excited about the Lord's resurrection, big celebration next week. By the way, you that are Christians, we have arisen. He's risen every day for us.
Amen.
But I get excited because the world's going to celebrate it next week. And that's one day I can have a Baptocostic fit and they think, hey, that guy's all right. But they don't understand is I have a fit every day of my life. Heaven, our Savior's alive. Amen? Man, I'll tell you right now, it's exciting. Austin, you're a little bit too loud, son. Grandpa's got a big megaphone right here. All righty. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom the arm of the Lord is revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised. This is talking about our Savior, Jesus. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. I mean, Isaiah 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows. You know why he's a man of sorrows? Because of me. Because of you. Before he came to earth, he was in the splendor of heaven, in the paradise of God, and all the adulation, and all the glory, and people adored him. Then he came to this world, which he made, and they cursed him. Later they crucified him. Acquainted with grief, and we hid our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Look at verse 7, because that's my text. I'm going to bring a message today called Words Jesus Never Spoke, But We Will. Words that Jesus never spoke, but we will. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He opened not his mouth. Do you get that? Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as sheep before his shearers dumb. So he opened not his mouth. Look at verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. I'm so glad Christ loved us enough to offer his soul for our sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And Brother Jordan, when the Bible says there in verse, he shall be satisfied, that's talking about God the Father. That act that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did on the cross by suffering and sacrificing his life, it satisfied an outraged holy God over our sin. Thank God for Calvary. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Calvary. And I thank you for loving us, even though we're all unlovely. And Father, I thank you for not saying anything. Lord, you took no defense. You just went willingly as a lamb to the slaughter for me. Lord, I want to tell you we love you today. Bless, Lord, I know you put this in my heart. What a thought. I never thought about it. You put this thought the other day in my heart. Help me to preach well for you now. Help me be a blessing to everyone here. And if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, Father, I pray today they'll make you as their Savior. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Do you still have Isaiah 53 open? Look at Isaiah 52:14. What a great prophecy this was. Yet as many, see at verse 14 and 52, as many were astounded by thee. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. In other words, when Christ died on Calvary's cross, and by the way, Isaiah 53 is talking about Calvary's cross. Isaiah 53 is talking about how God's Lamb, when John the Baptist saw Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world." Isaiah is talking about the Lamb that God sent to die for my sins, to die for your sins, and the Bible says to die for the sins of the whole world. Isaiah 52:14 is telling you, Brother Kenny, how bad that suffering was. Matter of fact, Jesus was so mutilated, so battered. Kenny, our Savior was so brutalized. Colette, what they did to our Savior on Calvary's cross and before he got to the cross, his body was so brutalized, it was beyond human recognition. That's what that's teaching you. He had no... Brother Jack, we can't even visualize in our mind how bad. I get a kick, people put these little pictures. And if you got a picture, I'm not trying to get you upset. But they get little pictures of Jesus with a little dot of blood here and a little dot of blood there. I'm going to tell you right now, that's not a good portrait of Jesus Christ. You go get you a 5-gallon bucket of red paint, and then you throw that paint on that picture, and then you might get a little close to what it looked like. Jesus' body was completely mutilated. The Bible says that the life of the flesh is in the blood, Leviticus 17:11. When Jesus on the cross, he shed his blood. The girl sang about it. He shed his blood. He gave his life for you and I. Oh, it's beyond what you and I can count. Billy, I can't even grasp it. I can't put my arms around it. As great as it is, I can't get enough of it. I can't even, Brother Mark, we can't imagine what God did for us. It's so beyond our imagination, the greatness of it. Next week, by the way, wasn't that Isaiah 53 pretty cool? Now look at Acts chapter 8. I'm going to show you how powerful God's word is. Look at Acts chapter 8. Look at 8:32. Now Isaiah wrote that passage of scripture about Christ's suffering, Arlene, about a little over 700 years before Jesus was born. So Brian, you got this man, this Ethiopian eunuch in a chariot out in the middle of a desert, and he's reading this passage of scripture from Isaiah, which Isaiah wrote 700 years before Christ. Look at verse 32 of Acts chapter 8. How many have got Acts chapter 8? Look at verse 32. Go up there a little bit above it. And look at verse 28. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading Isaiah, the prophet. Then the Spirit, that says Isaiah, so I didn't make a mistake, but you take the Greek word Isaiah and then turn it into Hebrew, it's Isaiah. How many are with me? No error. It's just how many are with me? The Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to the chariot." And Philip ran hither, I'm in verse 30 of Acts 8, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, Philip said to him, "Do you understand thou what thou readest? Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" See, people need to have people show them the word of God. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Then it tells you right where he's reading, Liz. 32. I knew I'd get that verse eventually. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before a shearer, so he opened not his mouth. Well, you can write right next to there, Isaiah 53:7. He was reading what we just read earlier from Isaiah 53:7. He said, "Man," by the way, after he read that and he read that whole passage of chapter 53, Philip told him about Christ. And Mark, if you read down farther, and we don't have time for that today, but he gets saved. Yes, this man, reading from the book of Isaiah,
that was written 700 years before Christ was born, and actually about this time here. Oh, my lands, I need this Savior.
Isn't God's word powerful?
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to tell you, it's very powerful. Praise God, glory to God. His word's powerful, and Jesus died for all men so they all could be saved. You know, isn't that exciting? You know, next week we're going to have a celebration of our risen Savior. Now, Christians, you ought to be celebrating every day. Because he's just not risen one day a year. He's alive now. He's been alive. But one day, and by the way, you say, I get excited because next week, the whole world, I mean everywhere on the globe, somebody will be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm excited about that. And by the way, you can't preach the resurrection unless you preach the crucifixion. Because you got to have the crucifixion before you have the resurrection. Amen? And you know, next week, I'm going to have me a Baptist event. I mean, that's one day of the year I can get away with it. And people say, well, he's just excited because of the resurrection. Now I'm going to get excited today too, but you know, hello? Next Sunday is a day of great celebration. By the way, we are going to celebrate next Sunday. We're going to have this is going to be a shouting place next week. We're going to have a Sunday morning service. We're going to be shouting. The kids are going to have, they're going to be, they'll be preached to out there in the land. Then they're going to go get candy. Man, I wish I was out there with the kids. Save a couple eggs for me out there, Eddie. I'll find them later. Oh, okay. Josh, save me a couple eggs. I love that candy. Amen. Just a little bit, though. I'm a diabetic. Got to cut back, don't we, Annie? But because, listen, Jesus is alive. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, he's alive. And Tommy got me all excited. I'm going to be honest with you. Tommy, you didn't realize this. You pumped me up Thursday at our ABL club. Tommy talked about the resurrection. He got me pre-pumped. Man, I get excited. Eddie said to me this morning, hey, I preached about the resurrection at the nursing home. I said, Eddie, you can't beat preaching on the resurrection. That's the greatest thing you can ever preach about is the resurrection. Listen, folks, Tommy quoted Romans 1:4. Let me read, don't turn to it, let me just read it to you. Romans 1:4 says this, to declare to be the Son of God with power, according to the spirit of holiness. See, Jesus never sinned. He was a perfect, pure Lamb of God. Sinless. No, never sinned once. Declared to be the Son of God with power according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. By the way, if he wasn't perfect, he wouldn't be resurrected, because God said in Romans chapter 1, the only way the real Savior will rise, he'll have to be holy, because that's another characteristic about the real Savior. He'll be holy without sin.
Amen.
You see, because everyone else is all of sin and comes short of glory to God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Only one righteous was Jesus.
Amen.
But he said, by the resurrection from the dead. And on that third day when Jesus came out of that grave, and boy, I'm going to have me a fit. I wish I was just a little bit lighter. I could jump the pews. When I was younger, I used to jump on pianos, I'd run across pews, chairs. I used to have me a fit. Now I'm kind of grounded with gravitation. I'm kind of weighted down. Boys and girls, listen to me. The reason you know Jesus Christ as the one that you really want to look to, God said, you want to know who the real Savior, when you see that, when the real Savior comes, he'll die, he'll die without no sin, and he'll be holy, and on the third day, the real Savior, he will raise with the power of God. He's the only one that can raise from the dead. And when Jesus came up from the grave, when the ground shook and the stone rolled back and up from the grave he arose, hallelujah, Jesus said one thing to the whole world, I'm the real Savior.
Amen.
Amen. Man, forget about Coke. Forget about Pepsi. I'm the real one.
Amen.
I'm the real one.
Amen.
kill me, but don't worry. Because on the third day, I'm coming out of the grave. And over and over, what he was saying to him, Brother Freddie, he was trying to tell the disciples, don't worry. Sunday's coming.
Yes.
See, he rose on the Sunday morning. The first day, see, Saturday's the last day. Sunday's the first day of the week. Even check your calendar. Your week don't start on Monday. Oh, I know you're going to work on Monday. But Sunday's the first day of the week.
Yeah.
And he kept saying to him, Steve, and you're right, Steve. He's telling the disciples, don't worry. Sunday's coming.
Amen.
Don't get shook up. Sunday's coming. Guess what, Billy? Sunday did come.
Amen.
And he did come out of the rain. And he did rise from the grave. Yes. Hallelujah. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
But more than that now. Now he's saying us. Hey, remember I told the disciples, Sunday's coming? Did it come?
Yes.
He said, guess what? Now it's more than Sunday. Now Sunday's coming and gone. Now, not just Sunday's coming, but the Son of God's coming.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah. In the cloud, the music in the air. Can anyone say amen?
Amen.
It's hard, 10 to 12. You understand, this is the introduction. Lord, help me to get this in 10 minutes. I got 4 pages here. I'll do without the How can I give it to me 10 minutes? I got 4 pages of notes. I got so much in my heart I want to give to you. Listen to me. Did you notice in Isaiah? It said he opened not his mouth. That was a prophecy. The prophet foretold that he would be, that in the future Jesus, and it did happen, that he would be taken before the high priest and Pilate and Caiaphas. And when he was accused, and falsely accused, by the way, he would say nothing. Isn't that amazing? When they put Jesus and falsely accused him, he didn't say a word. Not on his behalf. He didn't try to defend himself. He didn't say, no, you're full blown. He didn't say to those false accusers, no, that's not true. He didn't say to them, you're lying. He didn't say, hey, don't you realize I'm perfect? Do you realize all the things he could have said?
Amen.
But the Bible said he opened not his mouth. How many see that? Look real quick with me. You're going to help me in this. Lord, give me memory. Look at Matthew 26. Look at Matthew 26. I'm going to read verses, but I'm just going to have to quote now. You're going to help me, Mark. Okay, one of you guys. Look at what's 63 say? 26, 63 of Matthew. That's right. Read that for me, Eddie. Stand up and read 26, 63 of Matthew.
But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said to him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God.
Thank you. But what did Jesus do? He held his peace. What did Isaiah say? He opened out his mouth. Look at Matthew chapter 27. And Mark, look at verse 11 through 14. Stand and give me that, Mark.
Jesus stood before
Matthew 27, 11 through 14.
Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accursed of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing.
He answered what?
Nothing.
That's what I wanted. And then keep one more verse.
Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word.
Yes, thank you. See, Jesus fulfilled that scripture, didn't he? Hey, by the way, he could have said a lot. They would have met me. I said, first of all, Chuck, you know, I call multiple angels. You put the fire on me.
Yeah.
Hello?
Oh, man, Jesus. He was trying to get out of going to the cross. Yeah. Father, take this cup from me. You stupid.
He wasn't trying to get out. You know what bothered Christ? He had no sin.
Right.
He was going to take all our sin. Yeah. The Bible talks about the cup that he was drinking the cup of all sins of mankind.
Yes.
It was Christ's holiness that was repulsed. That's why it says in the Garden of Gethsemane, his blood sweat drops of blood. His holiness was taken in because he was going to become sin. Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:21.
Right, there you go.
For God had made him. For God, 2 Corinthians 5:20. For God had made him to do sin who knew no sin.
That's right.
That's what Calvary's all about. Made him to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. That's right. Made the righteousness of God. But what for Christ? He became sin for us.
Yes.
Christ, look up here, folks. Christ became sin. He had no sin. And they were accused of being a sinner, a liar, a cheat. All you ever did was help people.
Right.
All you did was heal people. All you ever did was love people. Are you with me? He said nothing. I'm preaching a message to this woman. The words Jesus didn't speak. And I thought of something. I thought of something that Jesus could have said. And I know, I'm going to tell you about the sentence in just 1 minute. I know I've already said this sentence. And I know Jesus could have said this and rightfully said it. Many of us have already said this. And I know for sure we're going to say it in the future. I got things about Jesus. Even before he was put before the high tribune, when he was born in Bethlehem, he should have been born in a royal palace.
Yes.
The Bible says there was no room for him. He could have said, I came from heaven. You ain't got no room for me. He could have said these words. I don't deserve it.
Yep.
I don't deserve it. Then Pilate finds out. Then Herod, King Herod, sends a wise man trying to find him. And they go, after they met Jesus, they go another way. And they don't come. See, every time you meet Jesus, you always go a different direction.
Amen.
If you don't, you probably didn't meet him.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So King Herod gets mad, Brother Marty, says, ha! That's it. Now, from 2 years old down, I'm going to kill every kid. They could have said, that could have been the thought of mine, my God. He don't deserve this. I sent my son from the splendor of heaven for you sinners, you filthy dogs, and you treat him like this?
Yeah.
Right. He don't deserve this. I thought about him when he stood before them and they're accusing him, falsely accusing him. And all the accusations and everything that they said wrong and mocking him and making fun of him. He could have said, I don't deserve this. When they took Jesus and blindfolded him and hit him and they punched him in the face and beat on him and said, tell us who you are, you're a son of God. Tell us who you are, you're so good. He could have said, that's it. I don't deserve this.
Yep.
When they took him, Brother Kenny, and they took what they call the cat of nine tails. It was a whip with like 9 lashes on a can. And on those, every one of those lashes, there was like metal and glass. And they took that weapon. They lashed Christ. By the way, they stripped him down. But no godly person wants to have garments off of them.
Right.
Carl, I was thinking about the humiliation. Just the humiliation of being naked in front of people.
Yeah. Yeah.
That alone to me would be a travesty. I don't deserve this. But they took that cat of nine tails. And they lashed him, and all those whips wrapped around him. Then they pulled it back.
Yeah.
They lashed him again and pulled back. They lashed again and pulled back. Lashed again and pulled back. And 39 times they lashed and pulled back. 39 until his body was completely mutilated. nails in his hands and nails in his feet and hung on a cross between two thieves, two sinful people. And there he hung from 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock, 6 hours for man. There he suffered and agonized between two sinners. Guaranteed he could have said, I don't deserve this. Amen.
Right.
But he did. No, Grandma Sue and them would say, yeah, he says, but he stayed on the cross for you and for me. I'll take a thank God. And
he didn't come down.
Oh no, he didn't come down. 10,000 angels were camped all around. He could have called them to set him free, but he stayed on the cross for you. And he could have said, "That's it.
That's it.
I don't deserve this." Those are words he could have said.
Yep.
But he didn't.
Amen.
Amen.
Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Then I thought about us, Daddy. I'm just a sinner. I was an alcoholic. I deserve to go to hell. You know, I've done a lot of bad things in my life. Now let's look at the opposite, Brother Mark. He should have said, I don't deserve this. When God saved me when I was 20 years old from being an alcoholic and a wicked sinner, and all even after he saved me, he didn't have to save me. I fell 1,000,000,000 times. Brother Billy, I'm so glad that Mark was saving grace of Christ. If we be honest, we don't deserve this. We should be making this statement. We don't deserve this. I remember, I think it was around 5 years ago. About 5 years ago, it could have been longer, I don't know. We were doing the ADL program, and there was snow on the ground, and snow on the back porch, and we just had a great day with the seniors, and I was running to get a car to take people home, and I ran off the back step, that back porch, and I slipped and I came right down that concrete. Bam! And broke my ribs. Man, that hurt. Chuck, I've been in fights. I've never had anybody hit me that hard. It was a stinking step. I went back with a hammer and beat it to death. didn't flinch. Broke my ribs. Broke my ribs. Remember how many other preachers broke his ribs? Man, I was laid up for 2 or 3 months. And I slept in a chair for over 2 months. Broke my stinking ribs. I did. Boy, that's okay when you break those ribs. Finally, after about 3 days, I went to they said, yeah, you broke them. Go home. And I said, God, this is hurting our church. Some of the boys had to preach for me for a few weeks, and even after I came back, I was still, I couldn't get excited. I was just pawing in the balance. I think I was in a wheelchair too. And I said, God, I'm serving you. I don't deserve this. Well, it's one of God's gonna kill me. What about you? Good thing you don't
Yeah.
How many know that part?
Yeah.
I know
there's hardly
a lot.
Yeah. And, oh, I'm roasting.
Yeah.
You saw me wear my suit.
Yep.
Watch this, I'm almost done. But we're famous about saying, I don't deserve this. By the way, a lot of times we're quick to say it. Maybe not you, but I am. Yet our Savior could have said it and been justified in saying it.
Yes, that's right.
Let me say this and we'll go home. Think about this, John. I don't deserve this. Brother Parker, when he comes in the rapture, we're going to be taken out of this old crummy world. And what, he's going to call us up to be with him. I believe it's going to be real soon. I was talking to Dr. L. Lacey. He called me Monday. Boy, L. Doc Lacey really believes the way things are going in this country. He believes we're really close to the rapture. I really believe in myself. I believe in myself. You better get ready. Christ is coming back. They're going to start building that third temple in Jerusalem. I'm going to tell you, Jesus is coming back. You better be saved. You better be prayed up and read up and get ready to go up because he's coming back.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. That's right.
By the way, he's going to take it. We don't deserve it.
Amen.
We're going to get brand new bodies. And when I get my brand new bodies, oh God, thank you. But I really, if we're really. We're gonna go to heaven. We're gonna walk in the splendor and glory of heaven throughout all eternity. Revelation 21 forces, and there'll be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. For the former things are past. Hallelujah! How many glad you're going to heaven? How many glad you're gonna have a new body? How many glad there's gonna be no more death? Did you say amen? But you know what? We ought to be on our knees saying, "Oh God, oh God, I should have went to hell. Oh God, I deserve to go to hell, but oh God." You saved my wretched soul. Oh God, I don't deserve this.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes. You see, we don't deserve it.
Yep.
We don't. Jesus didn't deserve what he got. He didn't say that.
Right.
We don't deserve it either. But we ought to be telling him, Lord. It says in 2 Corinthians, doesn't it? Would you all turn this on quick? I'm done. And we don't deserve his riches.
You're right. That's right.
Isn't that just like God? He took what we deserved and gave us what he deserved.
Yep.
That's right.
He didn't say a word. He's the one that should have said, I don't deserve this. But we're always saying, God, you didn't give me what I wanted. I don't deserve this. But what we deserve was hell.
Yes.
What we deserve was everlasting fire and separation from forever. What we deserve, we didn't deserve his law. You know what I wrote down, Mark? We don't deserve John 3:16. We don't deserve Romans 5:8. We don't deserve Titus 1:2. We don't deserve Romans 10:9 and 10 and verse 13. We don't deserve Romans 8:32.
Yeah.
We don't deserve 1 John 5:10 through 13. We don't deserve them. We don't deserve Revelation 21:4.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've had. And oh God, I just pray with all my heart. Oh God, I know Sunday's coming, but you came for them. Sunday's coming. Next Sunday's coming. It's going to be Easter Sunday, but Lord, you've already risen. We're not like the disciples of old. We're the disciples of new. And now, Lord, it's not coming out of the grave that you're saying Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming for us for the rapture. You're coming for us in the clouds to call us up. We ought to be excited. We ought to be living and serving you and loving you. And Lord, we ought to have a heart that says, "Oh God, I don't deserve none of these things." Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for raising for me. Thank you for loving me when no one else could. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed today, how much do we love him? Can I ask you, when's the last time you told Christ you loved him? When's the last time you said, "Jesus, I want to tell you I love you today. Lord, I don't deserve to go to heaven. Lord, I didn't deserve for you dying for me. I didn't deserve you taking my place. Lord, I don't deserve to get out of hell, but you saved me and shed your blood so I could. I don't deserve to get a brand new body that's never going to get sick and it's going to live forever. I don't deserve that. But Lord, I want to thank you for all that you're going to do for us." How many could say, "Preacher, I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm saved. I've trusted Christ. Could you raise me? I know for sure. I know for a fact I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven." Thank you, but put them down. Is there anyone today that say, "Preacher, I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me." Just raise your hand. I won't come. You won't embarrass, but I'll pray for you. Pastor, include me in that prayer. Just raise your hand and put it back down. "Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me." Preacher, I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about church. I'm not talking about taking the Lord's Supper. I'm not talking about being baptized. I'm talking about being saved. Knowing you're a lost sinner and that Christ died just for you and that he arose and you need him to come into your heart to be your Savior. He's the only one who can get you to heaven. 1969, I was a member of a Baptist church, got baptized in a whole ball of wax, prayed in the church, gave out tracts, gave money, did everything. But for the first time in my life, I realized I was a lost sinner going to hell. And I got down on my knees in front of an old green couch. I only paid $110 for the couch, chair, and everything. Lamps. And I asked Christ to save my soul. You need to do that if you've never done that. That's what the Bible talks about, being born again. You must be born again. I can't wait to go up and hug my Savior and say, "I love you. Thank you, Jesus. I don't deserve all this." Why don't we start loving him now before we get to heaven? He already sees us risen in him. We've already got the promises. Christian, let's love him now. Heavenly Father, I pray for Christians that they would have the joy of their salvation. And I pray for anyone here today that's never trusted you as Savior. I pray, dear God, that today would be the day they would ask Christ into their heart. We ask these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to sing a verse of invitation. You come right now.